Chapter 18, Anatomy of the Cardiovascular System, Chapter Summary. Here's a tip. Listen to this summary after reading the chapter to help you reinforce the key concepts. Before class or your next test, you can also use the summary as a quick review. Heart. The heart lies in the mediastinum, behind the body of the sternum, between the points of attachment of ribs 2 through 6. Approximately two-thirds of its mass is to the left of the midline of the body, and one-third is to the right. Posteriorly, the heart rests on the bodies of the thoracic vertebrae 5 through 8. The apex of the heart lies on the diaphragm, pointing to the left. The base lies just below the second rib. The boundaries of the heart are clinically important as an aid in diagnosing heart disorders. The size and shape of the heart varies with age. At birth, the heart is transverse and appears large in proportion to the diameter of the chest cavity. Between puberty and 25 years of age, the heart attains its adult shape and weight. In an adult, the shape of the heart tends to resemble that of the chest. The heart's covering, the pericardium, consists of the fibrous pericardium, a tough, loose-fitting, inextensible sac, and the serous pericardium, a parietal layer that lies inside the fibrous pericardium, and the visceral layer, or epicardium, which adheres to the outside of the heart. The pericardial space with pericardial fluid separates the two layers. The heart coverings provide protection against friction. The wall of the heart is made up of three distinct layers: the epicardium, which is the outer layer of heart wall, the myocardium, which is the thick, contractile middle layer of heart wall, which compresses the heart cavities and the blood within them with great force, and the endocardium, which is a delicate inner layer of endothelial tissue. The heart is divided into four cavities, with the right and left chambers separated by the septum. The atria are two superior chambers known as receiving chambers because they receive blood from veins. Atria alternately contract and relax to receive blood and then push it into ventricles. The myocardial wall of each atrium is not very thick because little pressure is needed to move blood such a short distance. The auricle is an ear-like flap protruding from each atrium. The ventricles are two lower chambers, known as pumping chambers, because they push blood into the large network of vessels. Ventricular myocardium is thicker than the myocardium of the atria because great force must be generated to pump the blood a long distance. The myocardium of the left ventricle is thicker than the right because it must push blood much further. The valves in the heart are mechanical devices that permit the flow of blood in one direction only. There are two types of valves, atrioventricular and semilunar valves. Atrioventricular valves prevent blood from flowing back into the atria from the ventricles when the ventricles contract. The tricuspid valve, or right atrioventricular valve, guards the right atrioventricular orifice. The free edges of three flaps of endocardium are attached to papillary muscles by cordae tendineae. The bicuspid, or mitral valve, also known as the left atrioventricular valve, is similar in structure to the tricuspid valve, except it has only two flaps. The semilunar valves are half-moon-shaped flaps growing out from the lining of the pulmonary artery and aorta. They prevent blood from flowing back into the ventricles from the aorta and pulmonary artery. The pulmonary valve is at entrance of the pulmonary artery. The aortic valve is the valve at entrance of the aorta. The skeleton of the heart consists of a set of connected rings that serve as a semi-rigid support for the heart valves and for the attachment of cardiac muscle of the myocardium. It also serves as an electrical barrier between the myocardium of the atria and the ventricles. The blood supply of heart tissue includes both the coronary arteries and the cardiac veins. Myocardial cells receive blood from the right and left coronary arteries, which are the first branches to come off the aorta. The ventricles receive blood from branches of both right and left coronary arteries. Each ventricle receives blood only from a small branch of the corresponding coronary artery. The most abundant blood supply goes to the myocardium of the left ventricle. the right coronary artery, is dominant in approximately 50% of all hearts, and the left in about 20%, whereas in approximately 30%, neither coronary artery is dominant. Few anastomoses exist between the larger branches of the coronary arteries. As a rule, veins of the coronary circulation follow a course that closely parallels that of coronary arteries. After going through cardiac veins, blood enters the coronary sinus to drain into the right atrium. Several veins drain directly into the right atrium. The conduction system of the heart is made up of modified cardiac muscle, which generates and distributes the heart's own rhythmic contractions. It can be regulated by afferent nerves. Cardiac plexuses are located near the arch of the aorta, made up of the combination of sympathetic and parasympathetic fibers. Fibers from the cardiac plexus accompany the right and left coronary arteries to enter the heart. Most fibers end in the sinoatrial node, but some end in the atrioventricular node and in the atrial myocardium. The nodes are the heart's pacemakers. Sympathetic nerves are also called accelerator nerves. Vagus fibers serve as inhibitory or depressor nerves. Blood vessels. Arteries carry blood away from the heart. All arteries, except the pulmonary artery, carry oxygenated blood. Elastic arteries are the largest in the body. Examples include the aorta and its major branches. They are able to stretch without injury and accommodate the surge of blood when the heart contracts, and are able to recoil when ventricles relax. The muscular or distributing arteries are smaller in diameter than elastic arteries. The muscular layer is thick. Examples include brachial, gastric, and superior mesenteric arteries. Arterioles, or resistance vessels, are the smallest arteries which are important in regulating blood flow to end organs. Metarterioles are short connecting vessels between the true arteriole and 20 to 100 capillaries. They are encircled by precapillary sphincters. The distal end is called thoroughfare channel, which has no precapillary sphincters. Capillaries are the primary exchange vessels. They are microscopic vessels that carry blood from arterioles to venules. Together, arterioles, capillaries, and venules constitute the microcirculation. They are not evenly distributed. The highest numbers of capillaries are in tissues with a high metabolic rate. They may be absent in some avascular tissues, such as cartilage. True capillaries receive blood flowing from metarterioles with input regulated by precapillary sphincters. Continuous capillaries have a continuous lining of endothelial cells. Openings, called intercellular clefts, exist between adjacent endothelial cells. Fenestrated capillaries have both intercellular clefts and holes, or fenestrations, through their plasma membrane to facilitate exchange functions. Sinusoids are a type of capillary that has a large lumen and tortuous course. They have an absent or incomplete basement membrane, and they are very porous, permitting the migration of cells into or out of the vessel lumen. Veins carry blood toward the heart. Also called capacitance vessels, they act as collectors and as reservoir vessels. Blood vessels consist of three separate layers: the tunica externa, or tunica adventitia, and tunica media, both found in the arteries and veins, and the tunica intima, which is found in all blood vessels. The tunica intima is the only layer present in capillaries. Four types of building blocks are commonly present: lining endothelial cells, collagen fibers, elastic fibers, and smooth muscle fibers. Lining endothelial cells are the only lining found in capillaries. They line the entire vascular tree and provide a smooth luminal surface, which protects against intravascular coagulation. Intercellular clefts, cytoplasmic pores, and fenestrations allow exchange to occur between blood and tissue fluid. Lining endothelial cells are capable of secreting a number of substances and are capable of reproduction. Collagen fibers exhibit a woven appearance and are formed from protein molecules that aggregate into fibers. They are visible with a light microscope. Collagen fibers have only a limited ability to stretch, only about 2% or 3% under physiologic conditions. Their function is to strengthen the lumen of the vessel and keep it open. Elastic fibers are composed of insoluble protein called elastin and form highly elastic networks. Elastic fibers can stretch more than 100% under physiologic conditions. They play an important role in creating passive tension to help regulate blood pressure throughout the cardiac cycle. Smooth muscle fibers are present in all segments of the vascular system except capillaries. They are most numerous in elastic and muscular arteries. Smooth muscle fibers exert active tension in vessels when contracting. Major blood vessels. There are two circulatory routes in circulation. In systemic circulation, blood flows from the left ventricle of the heart through blood vessels to all parts of the body, except the gas exchange tissues of the lungs, and back to the right atrium. In pulmonary circulation, the venous blood moves from the right atrium to the right ventricle, to the pulmonary artery, to lung arterioles and capillaries, where gases are exchanged. This oxygenated blood returns to the left atrium by way of pulmonary veins. From the left atrium, the blood enters the left ventricle. In systemic circulation, the systemic arteries involve main arteries producing branches, which continue to rebranch, forming arterioles and then capillaries. The end arteries are arteries that eventually diverge into capillaries. Arterial anastomoses are arteries that open into other branches of the same or other arteries. The incidence of arterial anastomoses increases as the distance from the heart increases. Arterial venous anastomoses, or shunts, occur when blood flows from an artery directly into a vein. Systemic veins are the ultimate extensions of capillaries, which unite into vessels of increasing size to form venules and then veins. Large veins of the cranial cavity are called dural sinuses. Veins anastomose the same as arteries. Venous blood from the head, neck, upper extremities, and thoracic cavity, except lungs, drains into the superior vena cava. Venous blood from thoracic organs drains directly into the superior vena cava, or azygos vein. Hepatic portal circulation involves veins from the spleen, stomach, pancreas, gallbladder, and intestines sending their blood to the liver by way of the hepatic portal vein. In the liver, the venous blood mingles with arterial blood in the capillaries and is eventually drained from the liver by hepatic veins that join the inferior vena cava. Venous blood from the lower extremities and abdomen drains into the inferior vena cava. In the basic plan of fetal circulation, additional vessels are needed to allow fetal blood to secure oxygen and nutrients from maternal blood at the placenta. The two umbilical arteries are extensions of the internal iliac arteries. They carry fetal blood to the placenta. The placenta is attached to the uterine wall, where exchange of oxygen and other substances between the separated maternal and fetal blood occurs. The umbilical vein returns oxygenated blood from the placenta to the fetus. It enters the body through the umbilicus and goes to the undersurface of the liver, where it gives off two or three branches, and then continues as the ductus venosus. The ductus venosus is the continuation of the umbilical vein and drains into the inferior vena cava. The foramen ovale is the opening in the septum between the right and left atria. The ductus arteriosus is a small vessel containing the pulmonary artery with the descending thoracic aorta. When the umbilical cord is cut, the two umbilical arteries, the placenta and umbilical vein, no longer function. The umbilical vein within the baby's body becomes the round ligament of the liver. The ductus venosus becomes the ligamentum venosum of the liver. The foramen ovale is functionally closed shortly after a newborn's first breath, and pulmonary circulation is established. The structural closure takes approximately 9 months. The ductus arteriosus contracts with the establishment of respiration and becomes the ligamentum arteriosum. Cycle of life. Cardiovascular anatomy. At birth, a change in the newborn occurs away from the placenta-dependent system. The heart and blood vessels maintain basic structure and function from childhood through adulthood. Exercise thickens the myocardium and increases the supply of blood vessels and skeletal muscle tissue. In adulthood through later adulthood, there are degenerative changes in the heart. Atherosclerosis is the blockage or weakening of critical arteries. Heart valves and myocardial tissue degenerate, which reduces pumping efficiency.